Blog Talk Radio.
They all come along like they all to Yahshua. They all come along like they all to Elohim. They all come along like they all to Yahshua, my Savior. Elohim, like Big Bruh. Come along.
Remember that you are listening once again to Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio. We are attached to NS Fatherhood. N is in national, S is in saving fatherhood. So check out nsfatherhood.org when you have the time to. That N is in national, S is in saving fatherhood. NS Fatherhood, nationalsavingfatherhood.org. So please join us when you have the opportunity to do so. I'm sorry, hold on 1 second for me. So we're back on, and basically we want to talk about that. Once again, check out nationalsavingfatherhood.org when you have the opportunity to. A great organization trying to make sure that we help with fatherhood around the world, especially in our community. Let us not also forget that we do, as fathers and as father figures, we do want to make sure that we are out there not just helping men, but we also help women, right? Because a good father or a good father figure makes sure that our mothers, our queens, are taken care of. So we do that as well. But check that out. I believe every 25th of each month, Brother Alfred actually tries to put together a little class for those who would like to be able to learn about fatherhood. I think that the donation or the, we ask for a donation, I think it's $20 or something like that. But for one session, but, you know, it'll be on Zoom, you know, but to learn more about fatherhood, to learn more about how we can grow as fathers, to be there for our wives, to be there to lead as men in our society, it's something that's well worth your time and resources and effort and energy, et cetera. So please, man, please, sir, check that out when you have the opportunity to. Or let somebody know who's a young father, an up-and-coming father, or soon-to-be father, maybe a teenager who is trying to become a father. Let them know about these things that are happening. But we're once again, the main focus of today is going to be talking about manifest destiny. So we are excited to be able to present you guys with that. To help you to realize and comprehend and understand what's going on with manifest destiny, and to help you to understand how manifest destiny still rears its ugly head till this day. We are still dealing with a lot of things that come out of manifest destiny. And so if we don't comprehend that, if we don't realize that, we don't realize why we are repeating certain things over and over again. So first things first, we have to ask ourselves, what is manifest destiny? Right? If we're just going to be honest about it, if we're going to do this the correct way, we have to first know what manifest destiny is. Not what people will try to tell us, but what is manifest destiny, right? What is our definition? As I say, plenty of times we have to get out of the habit of having people who don't care about us be our standard, right? So we don't want to look at the standard of somebody who has been there to ridicule us, to revile us, to say all manner of evil against us, to tell us how to worship our Elohim, and then all of a sudden come to find out that that's not even our Elohim that we're being taught how to worship, to look up to whitewashed versions of people or historical figures, to listen to his story instead of our story. That is not something that we are into, right? We want to make sure that our standard is what we're looking at. So according to our standard, not his standard, but our standard, what is manifest destiny? Really, according to the standard, you know, we're not going by his story, we're going by the story. So according to what manifest destiny is, what is it? According to our standard, according to what we know, according to how we define things, according to how we roll, manifest destiny is, in fact, not just a saying, but it is a thought. It is part of the religion of white supremacy. Manifest destiny is a belief that it is the white man's burden, which is a whole other concept, but it is the white man's burden to ensure that everybody who does not look like him and does not live like him will live like him, because it is God's will that everybody acts like the white man. That is manifest destiny. Okay? Once again, it is destiny is when we're dealing with somebody who tells us that it is their duty, it is the white man's burden to ensure that everybody that doesn't look like him acts like them. It is, in fact, according to manifest destiny, it is God's will that people will act like them, will walk like them, will talk like them, will wear their clothes, will be professional, and professional meaning to, you know, profess in your life, profess in what you say, even to confess in what you say that what white people want is reality. This is what manifest destiny is. Thank you to those who are on, by the way, the callers. We will try to open up the lines later on for those in a little bit to be able to ask any questions, give any comments, concerns that they might have regarding this. Also, too, if you're listening to this, feel free to go ahead and go into the chat, and we will make sure that we try to stay connected to you in the chat. So if I see you speaking in there, feel free to go ahead and let your comments, questions be known. I'll go ahead and get things started, you know, just by giving a quick greeting, and anything that you would like to go ahead and say, I will try to keep up with it throughout this episode. But that's what we're dealing with when we're dealing with manifest destiny, is God's will, according to white people, right? We're dealing with it being God's will that everybody who is not white will in some way, shape, or form be white. And anything that belongs to anyone else, it belongs to white people so that they can ensure that God's will, which is white people being on top and black people on top, bottom, be done. So before we even go into manifest destiny with the Republic of the United States of America, we have to talk about this manifestation and God's will. We have to talk about this even before the Republic it comes into existence, you know, the way that we know it to be in existence today, right? Because everything comes from something. And so before we get into how we're going to do this and what we're going to do to break free and why America is the way it is, you have to first deal with where it even came from and what set up things for this Republic, you know, because America comes out of England. You know, let us not forget that white people have been here for centuries before America was a thing, right? We forget that, but let us not forget that our native brethren have been dealing with colonialism and white supremacy and chattel slavery since before, you know, way before people came over here in 1600. You know, when you deal with Thanksgiving and the lie told about Thanksgiving, you have to understand that the reason why there were natives that spoke English are because they were slaves, and they learned as slaves how to be able to speak English, right? So when we're dealing with our conversation for today, when we're dealing with white supremacy, when we're dealing with the religion of white supremacy, right? Religion just literally meaning something that people repetitively do as a legion. When we're dealing with this as a concept and say, all right, this is what happened as far as what even allows people to be okay with the white man's burden. And when I say people being okay with the white man's burden, I'm not just talking about white people. Black people have to be okay with the white man's burden as well, right? You can't have the white man's burden work and not have black people okay with the white man's burden, right? Black people have to come into some type of agreement with this burden, right? Black people have to insist upon at times that the environment be in place so that the seeds can continue to be sown to allow the white man's burden to exist. So we have to talk about this, you know, this philosophy, right, which comes from chattel slavery, but even comes beforehand, where before it was about black and white per se, it was about country versus country. It was about white country versus white country. Right, it was about white people in France for land. It was about white people in France fighting with white people in England for land. It was about white people in Spain fighting, and white people in Portugal fighting, and white people in Belgium fighting, and white people in Russia fighting, and white people in Prussia, and the list goes on and on and on. Right, and people coming up at one after the other after the other. You know, whether you want to call it Catherine the Great, whether you want to say it's Ivan the Terrible, whether you want to say it's William the Bastard, whether you want to talk about, I'll leave this part alone. I was going to say Joan of Arc, but people don't want to have that conversation because everybody loves Joan of Arc, you know, but you got to think about even spiritually, what did she believe as far as what the French believed about black people? You know, that's a whole other discussion too. You know, we just make these people to be ultimate good, you know, but, or what about Joan of Arc, her ties to the defunct? And what did the defunct do concerning black people? You know, what are these things that were out there? You're dealing with people that were fighting for land. The word race in the beginning had nothing to do with color. So when people try to teach us that race has nothing to do with color, they are wrong in a sense because over time it had to do with color. But they're right in a sense, right? Because that's what we have to make sure context is right. They are correct to a certain degree because, yes, in the beginning, the race was not about color. The race that was being run was about how much land, who had more, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got racism going on, and you've got people in the competition to acquire more than the other person. So one country wants more than somebody else. And these are cousins. These are brothers and sisters even at times who are fighting against each other and trying to, even if they marry each other, you know, marrying their own family members, which still happens today, right? The people who are in the White House, they are all married to each other. So it still happens today. So much so that there's actually a a video floating around now that everybody's getting their hands on about by John Lennon. And part of the video, he makes it a point to say that the people that are over us are actually all crazy. Something is wrong with them mentally. They're mentally unstable. Look at the behavior. Look at what they do to people. This is the behavior of people that have mental health challenges. And he was, in fact, 100% correct, right? You have mental health challenges. These people are going around and teaching people things and doing things to people and killing off people. And if we were to look at somebody, if our children were to act like these leaders do, we would say that we would spank our children, or we would say that they have issues, or we would be very afraid if our children acted like a Donald Trump or acted like, Pushkin or Putin, Putin. Let me not confuse him with the great black man, Pushkin, Putin. You know, if somebody went around and every time somebody didn't like what you had to say, you'd beat them up. You know, that's what Putin does to this day. Or Putin, is it Putin, I think? That's what he does to this day. He fights people. He kills people when they disagree with him and what he says has to be done in Russia. Stalin did the same thing, right? Leningrad, to a certain extent, allowed for that to even happen. Lenin. So these are things that have been going on for a while and things that people have been going back and forth with for quite some time. And we don't want to deal with that, but that's what we're dealing with, is something where it was a race between people who were unstable, who were all in the same family, right? All the presidents are related to each other, right? All these people in the same family. I don't care. Don't try to, you know, hit us up, or don't try to, you know, send an email later on or whatever telling me, hey, you don't know what you're talking about, because this, you know, if you really knew what you were talking about, you'd understand that a lot of these presidents are 10th cousins and 11th cousins in this. Okay, well, however it is, all of them are related, right? So they definitely care. They don't care about 10th or this or that. They care about how can somebody who's attached to their family make sure that their families keep having money. And once their family members do what they're supposed to do as presidents, they take them out the way, right? You don't hear from Bush anymore, except for every once in a while when they need you to have discourse on. He comes out and he says a quick statement, and then he's gone. He's out of here, right? But you don't really hear from Bush anymore, right? You don't hear from Obama. Obama comes out, he acts like he's black now, you know, a couple times, and then he goes back into obscurity. Michelle Obama wears a purple outfit. Everybody says, oh, girl, that girl, she was slaying, right? They say all that stuff, and then you don't ever see her again. You don't hear her talking about issues. You don't hear her name pop up unless people are trying to get a feel as to whether or not you would vote for her if she ran for president. That's about it. That's all you're going to get out of her. That's all you're going to get out of Bush. That's about all we're going to hear. So when you're dealing with these people, you're dealing with the same stuff over and over and over again, and we allow ourselves to keep being had, you know, not realizing that if you go back and look up how this stuff was set up, you will be able to see very easily, very quickly, that this is the same stuff that we've been dealing with. It's the same setup, it's the same mindset, right? But at first it was between crazy individuals who were married to each other, who were trying to fight for land and stuff. And then eventually that meant that you had to have more slaves and set up things to have more indentured servants. Matter of fact, Catherine the Great, if you go back and look at her story, she's considered to be this great woman who did so many great things. We overlook the fact that she actually took anybody who was considered to be a priest, or be somebody who was a leader in the church, and she took them and she actually forced them to basically be serfs. They had to become indentured servants, and indentured servants in Russia were pretty much outside of name only. They were slaves. They could be killed. Once they decided to be indentured servants, they had a couple privileges that others didn't have, but their family members had to become slaves as well. So she saw money that was in their church and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just set things up to where all the money that they have, it will be the country's money, which means it will be my money. And then once I set that up to become my money and do with whatever I feel like I want to do with it, because I'm the one in charge, I'm the one in control, I'm the queen, you know, I'm the czar, right? So I'm going to make these decisions. And she basically took all that. She forced them to be servants. And then she, you know, she couldn't be questioned about it, right? So this is stuff that was already there. Chattel slavery, in a sense, although it would increase over time, the amount of barbaric, you know, barbarism and brutality that would be utilized, she and others have been using these things for a while. But eventually you get to a point, once again, where you need to not only have more land and other things, but now you've got to have more slaves, you know, outside of indentured servants. Indentured servants, not everybody will sign up for that. So you got to have more slaves than the other person in order to have more coming out of your land, right? You need people to take care of this fruit. You need people to take care of these things that you have in your society. So who am I going to get to do that? Who am I going to get to do that? Well, I get slaves. And now we have to start getting into where we deal with these slaves. Who are the slaves that they go for? At first, you have indentured servants, and you even have some slaves that are white. But the white people can't really do certain things like stay out in the sun all day. They're having issues with them. They're having issues getting them to do certain things, especially if they look like the people who are supposed to be enslaving them, right? However, when we get back to the, you know, if we keep on listening, as we get back to, all right, well, what are we going to do? This idea of how are we going to keep things going? We're going to need slaves to do it. And now we need these black people that we're enslaving, because they're able to do things that others cannot. They're able to outlast in ways that others cannot. And because black people are not as barbaric as we are, they don't fight as much as we do. So they aren't worried about having to have the weapons that we do. And they don't concern themselves with trying to kill people off and genocide. You know, remember William the Bastard, who becomes William the Conqueror, the first quote-unquote king of England, although we know people existed there before him. But, you know, as far as what people will teach you and only go back to that point in history, there is a, you know, it's okay to kill people off to get what you want, even if those people are your people. It's okay to kill people off completely and consistently to get what you need, as long as you can make it a point to say that these people are less than us, or for some reason we need to be able to get what they have. And so that's what started happening with black people. And remember what I said, that you can kill these people off as long as you can prove that they're less than you, or you can say that it's okay for whatever reason, you have to prove that it's okay for you to have what they have, right? There is the identity that we're looking for. There is the definition of, that we're looking for as far as manifest destiny. This is what we've been looking for as far as manifest destiny. You cannot speak on these things unless you're looking at what causes it, because now if I come from a mindset and I come from a culture, this is important, right? Because culture is going to dictate your religion. Culture is going to dictate your spirituality. Culture is going to dictate your what parliament will do. And by the way, for those of you who say Congress and parliament, Congress is just the name that people have given the parliament. It's the same thing, right? This is everything that you're living by. This is what's going to dictate your laws as far as when you cross the street, right? This is what's going to dictate to where it's okay for certain people to be told they can't even walk on the sidewalk. They have to walk on the street. This is why in certain places, all over the place, but especially in the South in certain places, you will discover that there are rich neighborhoods or neighborhoods where there's more money where they don't even have sidewalks because they don't want people to be able to walk on the sidewalk because it would be too close to the property of the people that live there. This is a holdover from manifest destiny. We have decided that we can take from people, we can utilize people for our benefit. We can even say, here comes three-fifths compromise, right? Here comes Monroe. We don't even have to say, we don't even have to call you a human being in our minds. And therefore, if we kill you, if we take your property, if we do whatever we need to, we can simply say that it is God who willed it. That's all we need, is to be able to say that. And now once we've said it over and over again, and even though it makes no sense because we can easily debunk these theories, but even though it makes no sense, and even though the people that are the real white people, the 1%, the 1%, the 1%, if they can get all the white people that they've taught that they're white to believe in it, and all the black people who they've taught to try to become as white as possible to believe that, then you have the system that you have now. And it all is centered around manifest destiny. It can't work without manifest destiny, right? So now let's start looking at the White Wands version of manifest destiny and see if we can start learning a little bit from that, you know, because it's important that we see this. It's important that we see what it is. So in the Republic of the United States of America, manifest destiny was something that was always described, talked about. George Washington talked about it. Thomas Jefferson believed in it. Andrew Jackson would be a big supporter of it. And John Tyler would be somebody who would be a big, big supporter of it as well, right? It basically became in America from all that stuff we talked about. Now fast forward and see all the stuff that's happened in the wars and, you know, different people that have power and masons and all these different things that are happening. Now you get to a place to where people are teaching the Republic of the United States of America, the common white man. Because whenever they say the common man, I want you to start in your mind adding the word white and putting it in between that common and man, those slices of bread. The meat in between that you need to be focused on is that white. Because that's common white man. That's what it is. So when somebody says the common man, they're saying I'm the common white man. You don't hear black people talking about I'm the common man. That's a white term, and it's used to be able, it's code. You know, it's code for white society to say this is what is common for us as white people, right? So for white people, you have people even running for president on the common man. You would have, Harrison, who's the ninth president of the Republic of the United States of America, who would die 32 days in the office. He ran off of being the common man, the common white man. Andrew Jackson, who was a rich white slave owner, ran off of being the common white man. So did Ronald Reagan in 1980, when his slogan was Make America Great Again. He ran off of being the common white man, even though he was an actor who was rich, right? The same thing with Donald Trump, who ran off of being the common white man, who was an actor on television, right? He didn't really act. He just played himself, but he's somebody who was doing stuff on WWE, right? Or I don't know if it was WWF back then or whatever. He was on television all this time doing stuff, rappers bowing down to him with their lyrics and everything. He's the common white man. That's what he ran on, got into office, and then showed that he was, in fact, you know, holding on to common white ideals and ideology. Excuse me. So if that's what's happening, then we have to make it a point to call the stuff out for what it is. And so here we are dealing with this common white man who tells us about the white man's burden. And the white man's burden is supposed to be teaching us how to push from one side of the Republic of America all the way to the other, right? Meaning that we are supposed to, as a white society, we are supposed to make sure that the white man can have his whatever he wants from sea to shining sea. It is his duty because everybody else is savage. The word savage coming from the word in French or Francais, you know, meaning sauvage. I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, sauvage, something along that line, sauvage, you know, which basically means wild, right? So anybody who does not live like a white person is a wild person. Right. And therefore, since they are savages and they don't do what we do and they don't exist how we exist and they don't wear what we wear and they don't live how we live, we have the right now to take their land because it is the white man's burden. Right. It is God's will to make sure that white men are able to manifest destiny. The destiny of the white man is to take over everything. Therefore, we bring this into manifestation by any means necessary. We will bring this into manifestation. And so if it means that we have to kill off natives and lump them into each other, where if I start saying terms like Wampanoag and I start saying, if I say Akakik, if I say Cherokee, if I say Sioux, if I say Blackfoot, if I say Choctaw, if I say Lakota, et cetera, you will begin to assume that you need to think of somebody with a white face more so than somebody with the black faces that they have. Right, I've literally manifested destiny where I killed off all the natives. I dressed up for the Boston Tea Party as the natives that I killed off and dressed up in blackface and used the stuff that I scalped connected to their scalps that I scalped off of them myself or bought for them once they were scalped off. Painted myself in ridiculous manners to be able to act like I was acting like them. And I told the English and throwing tea over that now I am the native to the land. I have manifested myself into the story of mankind so much that I have literally taken over their destiny. You know, think about that. The level of hypocrisy and cognitive dissonance that has to be taken on to allow that to happen to that degree. You know, think about that. The level of hypocrisy that has to be allowed, right, to allow that to go to that degree. You have to, there's a lot in there of what I was just saying. There's a lot that you have to put in there. You have to pack in there in order to make that work. And we have to be taught, once again, we have to be taught to submit to that. So you have black people, black men and women that still to this day, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody last night and we were discussing how, you know, we can be talking about something that has nothing to do with race whatsoever. And somebody will somehow, some way slip racism in, whether they're black, white or whatever. And you'd be like, how did you even make the conversation about that? Well, it's pretty simple. For people in the Republican United States of America, everything is based off of the white man's burden and is therefore based off of manifest destiny. If it is the white man's burden to manifest the destiny that they are supposed to take over everything at any means necessary, that even means that they're supposed to take over your very conversation. Think about that. Your very conversation is supposed to make sure that it manifests the destiny of the white man to be on top of you. That's what we're dealing with. But anyways, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break after that. If anybody would like to be able to go ahead and, you know, call in, you know, or it, for those callers that are listening in if, through the call, if you would like to be able to speak on something or add something too, we'll give you the opportunity to do so right after this. And we'll come to 2202 area code first. So we'll let that happen first. But we'll do that right after these messages. So if you would like to add anything or if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to go ahead and we'll take a break from me talking and we'll allow you guys to talk if you would like. Also, too, if you have anything that you want to put in the comment section, in the chat, feel free to do that as well. And we'll try to get back to you ASAP. We're having a little bit of issue with the chat, but we'll try to make that work. Well, let's go ahead and pay the bills, so to speak. We'll be right back in a second. You are listening to Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio.
Chapter systems are offline.
Number one for today's hits and all-time favorites.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
Elohim, like big bruh, come along.
Believe that feminism is for everybody, or that hey, abortion is something that's helping everybody when we're not realizing it's used to be able to keep numbers down and to continue murdering black babies that was done, you know, from times of slavery and before chattel slavery even existed. And so when you hear kind of like the common woman thing or the common white woman thing, if you will, what are some things that you know, if you don't mind sharing, you know, maybe from your perspective, what are some things that you kind of heard that you've gotten from that?
Well, the thing is that I used to be a diehard Democrat. I thought that being black, being a woman, being, you know, of color, that you were supposed to be a Democrat because they had your best interest at heart. And the more I look at the system and what we call the Democratic Party, the more I'm disgusted, because I was diehard. I was religious about being the Democrat. I would defend them tooth and nail. I've even had arguments against abortion. People who are against abortion, people who are pro-life, I had arguments with them, telling them that it was an issue of the system, that, you know, we had to have abortions because abortions were a good thing, you know, all the while being tricked into thinking that, you know, killing a baby was a good thing. And, you know, I would defend that, and I argue with people on it. And I would say, you know, it's unfortunate, but yeah, we got to do this because it's for the good of a woman so that she can get an education. What does an abortion have to do with getting an education? It has nothing at all to do with getting an education. But, you know, I was tricked into all these messages, all these codes they use right in front of our face, and I was defending them, which makes me disgusted that they had me so tricked and so wrapped up and so brainwashed to where I was against my own people, not knowing it, not knowing that the messages that I've been programmed, the messages that we see, the messages they push so hard at school, were the same messages that are destroying the black people. And, you know, I'm on several occasions at school, I've had people, you know, white and Hispanic and Asian, all sobbing off about, you know, our ranks as races. And they, you know, they put white at the top, then Asian, then Spanish, then black. And I'm like, how is it that three different people or three different races all have the same message, and they're willing to defend that message because they're, at least they're better than black. Like, at least as a Hispanic, I'm going to tell you your place because I'm above you. At least as an Asian, I'm going to tell you your place because at least I'm above you. And as a white man, I'm going to openly and in your face tell you as a black woman that, you know, don't feel bad because white's on top, then Asian, then Hispanic, then black, but you're okay because you're not like them. You're okay because you're not like them. You're not one of them. You're different. And I was proud to be told that I was different. All these codes that they're just like sitting in your face and making it seem like it's something positive or good, and we've been, like, it's been pounded into our heads over the last, you know, 12 years of education, you know, from age of 4 or 5 up until, you know, 20s, telling me that white man's on top, Asian, Hispanic, black, and all these messages, you know, not registering with me that when they say, you know, every man or every woman, they say feminism, they're not talking about black women. Because black women, even when you get the feminine right, you know, you still don't have no money. So, you know, they're talking about equal work for equal pay. They're not talking about black women. Because if they were, if it was even unequal, because black women are most educated in this country, then they should be making more money anyway. If it was, you're getting paid from your education, your experience, no. And they're in, even with all this feminism, black women are still, you know, on the bottom in terms of pay. So what is this feminism? What is the Democratic Party talking about? What is Joe Biden talking about when he said, you're not black if you don't vote for me, like, because you're a Democrat? And it's just really disgusting that the the way that it's been framed, and it's like Democrats, to me, are worse than the Republicans, because at least the Republicans are kind of open about, I don't like you.
Yeah. Yeah, and thank you for that. Thank you for being on. NSF or Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio. We appreciate that, and thank you for really going in depth about that, because that's the reality, and it's about brainwashing. At the end of the day, even if you, you know, for those of you we do on TikTok and on YouTube and sometimes on Instagram or maybe even Periscope, sometimes we try to do it live every evening at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern or New York time, depending on how you look at time, and every morning at 8 a.m. as well. And in the evening times, we usually focus in on specific things. And we were talking about, we were talking about presidents. We've been talking about presidents, and we're talking about how they set precedent. And a lot of people don't even recognize, once again, you know, white man's burden, manifest destination. I've mentioned white man's burden, so let me go ahead and explain a little bit more for you guys. The white man's burden is the part where it basically is Elohim, or well, we won't say Elohim because Elohim's different, but they're God. And by the way, they're deists, right? So those who are into deism are into a system that makes it you believe that white men can become gods, you know, like Kemetic pharaohs could become gods over times, or like Chieftain Khalifa became the goddess, you know, a goddess for those who are of that tribe, you know, that now, you know, we use the name California for. That's what the white man's burden is that God himself, their God, which are their white men, have said that it is their destiny to be able to take over everything else. And that's the trick of the enemy. And not every white person is the enemy. Matter of fact, the white man is only becomes in line with our enemy when they believe that very thing, which we were taught to believe as well. You know, we oftentimes look at people, we forget. Even Malcolm X had to say, hey, don't get mad at your brothers and sisters who are out there still, you know, believing in this system, because remember, such were some of you, rather. You know, let's not forget that a lot of us were out there and we learned to be white in school, just like white people learned to be white. You didn't learn your language, you learned the white language. That's why we're doing the show in English right now, because I'm more proficient at a European language than I am at my own. Even the word Europe, by the way, it literally means to be owned by Rome. So it means to be owned by a concept or a mindset that's not your own, to be owned by Caesars, that they themselves were deists who believed that they would become gods, right? This is the mindset of the people that we are underneath, and this is the mindset that we're under. And slavery, when we talk about chattel slavery, the worst form of chattel slavery to ever come into existence is the chattel slavery of the mind. You know, the worst chattel slavery to ever come into existence is, in fact, the chattel slavery of the mind. The reason is because we talk about the brutality of what was done to us, and yes, it was. You know, men were raped, women were raped, we were put into breeding camps, people were forced to breed with their own parents, people were bred by their masters, people were whipped by crackers. Crackers literally meaning somebody who cracks the whip. We were brutalized, we were enslaved. Remember, we didn't start off as slaves, we were enslaved, we were prisoners of war, a war that we didn't even know was going on. We had issues and stuff with tribes in places that we were in on Turtle Island or on El Capitan or Africa or Ethiopia, whatever you want to call it. You know, we had problems going on in South America, sure, but we were not at war each other as far as trying to wipe each other off the face of the planet and only use each other for nothing other than labor. We had to be taught that that was okay, or even had to be tricked into helping other people to enslave our own, and then later on find out that it was dastardly. It was not just, hey, can you help us to not have to deal with these people, but it was, oh, we're trying to, you know, disconnect you from the very thing that you are, the very story that makes you who you are. We're trying to decrease who you are. We're trying to get rid of who you are and who you've always been. And so we have to understand that that is manifest destiny. That is what is manifested itself. And like any other religion, understand that it is not the Most High who is supposed to directly manifest us. The Most High uses people, right? So if the Most High wants to use me to do this radio show, if he wants to use me to preach, if he wants to use me to teach, if he wants to use me to help my community, I have to be a vessel that's willing I have to, as much as people don't want to hear this because we're warped in our thinking where we don't realize we have free will and authority ourselves, the Most High has to be allowed or authorized by me, by Kofi. I as Kofi have to say, Yahweh, it's okay for you to use me. And I want to make myself clean enough and legal enough, and I authorize even out of my mouth your authority in my life and everything that I do. Then at that point, the Most High comes in through Ruach HaKodesh and other means or whatever your religiosity is, the Most High, the Holy Ghost, etc., whatever you want to call it, the Spirit, the Flow, you know, the Master, the Universe, whatever you want to say, but you have to authorize that stuff, right? You have to authorize for me, the Most High, the only wise God, the only wise Elohim. You have to authorize him to be able to come in to your life and to then help you to set things in order, to then push you to new heights, to then, you know, get you, you know, to do what you're supposed to do. You have to authorize it. Well, think about in this white supremacist thing where you have deists, not kingdom citizens, not Jews. You have deists, people that believe that they become gods and they can be gods over things, right? Look up, you know, Joseph Smith and the original mindset of the Mormon. That's basically the same thing, deism. They're worshiping Elohim, believing that Elohim is somebody different than who we say he is. They're worshiping Elohim. They're worshiping themselves and saying that they as men will be able to become gods and start things moving in the universe. And so they believe that they are the gods with little g's, right? But actually, I'm sorry, with gods with big g's rather than gods with little g's. And so the same thing has to be authorized, that these people that are their gods, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson, John Tyler, right? These people are the ones, George Washington, of course. These are the people that they look up to and say, these are the ones who authorize us to be able to do the stuff that we do today, and they worship these gods. Nowadays, it's the Warren Buffett. We don't even realize that we're doing this and making gods out of these people, and don't even realize these people control your presidents, by the way. You know, just like back then, there are people today that told the president what to do and had the money, right? So, you know, Warren Buffett is somebody who authorizes Obama to be in. Obama's part of his family, right? The Bushes are the people who authorized T.D. Jakes to be able to have the land that now he does. You know, he's been doing his show from and doing his services from for years. People think that T.D. Jakes authorized that. The Bush family authorized T.D. Jakes to be able to be on that land. It has to be authorized by their gods. In their religion of white supremacy, the deists, the men, are God. And so these gods are who they worship. And what's happened is we have been perverted so much that we have begun to believe that we should worship these people as God as well. Okay? So this is what's really happened. This is what's going on. This is what's messed us over. And now we have to start coming out of this and saying, what can we do to get to a place in which we can be able to manifest our destiny based on the one that is over us, right? This is why if you go to kofi-ofori.com, kofi-ofori.com, if you go to kofi-ofori.com, you will discover there we have 7S. Where we're trying to tell people, this is what we believe should be our faith. This is what we believe should be with our food. This is what we believe should be as far as our family. This is what we believe our foundation is, right? You know, this is what we believe, culturally speaking, should happen with us. And therefore, we have a new standard now that is not based on this deist society in which you worship white men and they get to authorize what you do and don't believe. Right. This is when we get to a different mindset and a different thought process. So even when you're having religious talks with people, you're still dealing with manifest destiny because the white man being on top somehow, some way has to be in there. A matter of fact, when I'm talking about this stuff and I'm talking to other preachers, one of the things that will often happen is somebody will try to make sure that I understand that it's about white people just as much as it's about black people. And I'm, you know, white people are oppressed just as much as black people and stuff. They have to compare. And I'm like, so why, you know, but so I'll be talking about, yeah, black people, we need more money. And they'd be like, yeah, white people need more money too. So that doesn't, but what you said, that's fine. First of all, it's not contextual because, yes, okay, there are poor white people. What does that have to do with anything with black people needing more money? Right? But because of the religion of white supremacy and different things that are there, we're going to have that conversation because we have to make sure we interject manifest destiny. We have to make sure that it's interjected and thought about how white people are supposed to be able to take over. And the very best thing that we can do as black people, if that's your religion, if you are an American, that's your religion. Understand, Washington, D.C., that's Father God, Mother God, right? Washington, obelisk, his phallus sticking up out of the ground. He's buried in the ground, and what's coming out the ground is phallus. And over him, on the other side, on top of the Capitol building, is the goddess Columbia. And she's supposed to represent that part coming out of Kemet, to where the Kemetic goddess is flying around, and she gets on top of the Father God that's in the ground, Mother, Father, God, right there in front of you, right? You're seeing the story, even though they tell you the separation of church and state and separation of all this stuff as far as religion is concerned and all this. They'll tell you that, but that's not the reality. That's not what's really going on, right? So I just felt like it's something, you know, I felt like this manifest destiny is something we really need to talk about it. We need to consider it. We need to make sure that we're aware of it, and we need to make sure that when we are walking around, as 2024, as the person in the 202 area code talked about last time, we better ensure and make sure that we are aware that this is what's being performed on us, to us, and towards us. We better make sure that it comes off correct, all right, or that we come off correct, that we know the codes, and that we're not allowing this stuff to mess us over. Anyways, I'm going to get out you guys' way. Thank you so much for being on. I appreciate the King and Queen and each and every one of you. Feel free, once again, to look us up. Hashtag Find Kofi. That's hashtag FindKofi. Once again, you can also go to the website, kofi-reporting.com. That's KOFI-OFORI.com. If you're looking for what's coming up on our calendar, go to kofi-reporting.com/calendar. If you're looking for what's coming up as far as our classes, we're getting ready to the Natural Medicine 1. We're getting ready to get into Hebrew characters, cryptocurrency, and Black history. If you want to join those classes, sign up. You can go ahead and do so. Just look up kofi-reporting.com/classes. If you'd like to be able to see some of the books we're reading, go to kofi-reporting.com/library. And if you would like to be able to see the 7 F's, just go to kofi-reporting.com in general and look up some things. But thank you guys for being on. Oh, if you'd like to be able to get the 2 books that are out right now, 21 Days of Motivation or 21 Days of Motivation or 21 Days of Motivation or 366 Day Devotional, Yahweh and I, go ahead and look or kofi-reporting.com/books-for-sale. I appreciate you guys. It's the Kofi of 40 podcast we have as well. Please look up changinglinesinitiative.org to be able to help us out in giving clothes and different things of that nature. And if you want, sign up. You can email me, kofispeaks@nsfatherhood.org. kofispeaks@nsfatherhood.org. We'll make sure we get you going ASAP. So I appreciate the King and Queen and to every one of you. As always, it's Pastor Kofi, a.k.a. the Shadow Bill, one pastor serving to Christ, where we're always changing lives one mind at a time by being a voice of the voices and speaking the unspoken until I have a chance of being in front of you again. Remember that you are loved, you are necessary, you are majestic, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you'll be the reason why this world changes for the better. Shalom.
Y'all come along like y'all to Yahshua. Y'all come along like y'all to Elohim. Y'all come along like y'all to Yahshua, my Savior. Elohim like Big Bruh. Come along.
I'm ripping your soul inside.